This morning comes from the first book of the Bible. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. Now, the serpent. The woman gave to her husband with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together, and made themselves tunics. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. Then the Lord God called to Adam and said to him, "Where are you?" And he said, "I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked. I hid myself." And for Adam and his wife, the Lord God made tunics of skin and clothed them. And the title for the talk this morning is "The Man Who Tried to Hide from God." And we begin by asking, why? Why did the man try to hide? Well, Bible answers that question for us, because from his hiding place among the trees of the garden, Adam confessed to God, "I was afraid because I was naked." And yet, in many ways, that was a remarkably odd explanation. Not least because, as we read, Adam and Eve had been naked from the moment of their creation. The fact was, and Adam knew it, that what had changed was not that he had just become naked, but that his nakedness had just become a problem to him. And what is more, Adam knew why he now felt different. For he and his wife had sinned. And it was then that, as we read, the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. For alas, before God ever entered the scene in Genesis chapter 3, sin already had. The truth was that Adam and Eve had eaten forbidden fruit, the fruit from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. On Saturday and Sunday, I was in Appledore in Devon, and a young Chinese student there wanted to know why God created that tree. Well, when God made man, he didn't make a creature who would worship and serve him mindlessly. Far from it. God placed enormous value upon man's free and loving response of obedience and worship. So much so that though, being God, he knew in advance of man's rebellion and sin, and the enormous cost to himself and his son, our Lord Jesus, of launching the great rescue mission for man, although he knew these things, he still gave man the priceless gift of freedom, gave him a will capable of making its own choices. I remember our oldest grandson, Kieran, when he was about 5, if Deb told him to do something he didn't want to, he had the habit of copying his friend Nick. "I can't. I am a robot." And God could, of course, have created and programmed a creature who would always have said no to evil and yes to good, to have done God's will infallibly and at all times. But what pleasure would that have possibly brought, either to God or to his puppet? But if obedience is to be loving willing and free, there must be the possibility of disobedience. And so there needed to be, at the very least, some kind of probation, some examination, if you like, by which man's love and obedience could be tested, hence this particular tree. Enter the serpent, the devil, and the rest, as they say, is history. As you know, tonight is Halloween, in origin a pagan Celtic festival, which many see as a time of innocent fun and amusement. That is as may be, but the Bible teaches us that there are very real powers of darkness, and that presiding over that vast kingdom there is the great overlord of evil himself, namely the devil. Yes, Adam and Eve had sinned, and they were already beginning to discover the horrendous price tag. And so Adam says, "Not. I was ashamed. I was embarrassed because I was naked. But I was afraid." It's the first mention of fear in your Bible. Because Adam knew God to be holy. Adam knew the penalty which God had pronounced on sin. Death, spiritual, physical, and eternal. And Adam knew that God had not been joking, and therefore had every reason to fear, and to do the best he could to hide. I said that in many ways his nakedness was an odd explanation for his fear, that Adam and Eve had been naked from the moment of their creation. But I had a second reason. Because in truth, Adam and Eve were now less naked than they had ever been. Because the very first thing they did after disobeying God was to sew broad fig leaves into aprons, into tunics, for themselves, to hide their shame. And, could be said, I suppose, to commence the clothing industry. But clearly man's attempt to cover himself by his own efforts failed to satisfy even himself, let alone God. Because in spite of his self-manufactured fig leaf suit, Adam still spoke to God in terms of being naked. Adam and Eve no doubt regarded the tunics they made and wore as adequate to cover themselves from one another. But when Adam heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden, all his fig leaves were as nothing. So the man tried to hide from God among the very trees which God himself had made, which of course the man could not do. It was many centuries later that the Lord asked through the prophet Jeremiah, "Can anyone hide himself in secret places that I shall not see him?" But wonderfully, wonderfully, Adam's action led to the first game of hide and seek. For though Adam was certainly not seeking God, far from it, God was seeking him. Last week we thought of the Lord's word to Zacchaeus, "The Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." And he had also, right back in Genesis 3, the Lord came to do just that. Graham spoke to us last week about a man up a tree because he wanted to see the Lord. But here we see a man behind a tree because seeing the Lord was the very last thing he wanted. And the wonderful sequence was that God himself provided the man and the woman with a proper covering, with tunics made not of fig leaves, but of animal skins. Animal skins which, of course, necessitated death, blood, and sacrifice. And the slaughter of the sacrificial victims must have been horrific to Adam and Eve. It was their first encounter with death. But there they learned that if a sinner is to be covered, a life has to be forfeit, a sacrifice has to be made, blood has to be shed. And by all this, God was pointing on, of course, to our Lord Jesus. And if the first question in the Old Testament was, as I read, where are you? The first question in the New Testament is that of the wise man from the East. Where is he? Wise men still ask that question. And so I close by referring you not to Zacchaeus, the man up a tree, or to Adam, the man behind a tree, but to the Lord Jesus, the man on a tree, of whom the Apostle Peter once wrote, who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, on the cross, that is. It's 490 years to the day that Martin Luther nailed his 95 theses to the door of the church in Wittenberg, which in one sense triggered the Reformation. Thesis number 62 reads, the true treasure of the church is the most holy gospel of the glory and the grace of God. It was God's grace which Adam needed and received. And through the Lord Jesus, God graciously offers us today not our own self-made tunics of church-going, charitable giving, or whatever, which the Bible tells us in God's sight are as filthy rags. No, he offers us, he graciously offers us the garments of salvation. And clothed with those, you don't need to hide. Shall we pray? We give thanks, Lord.